today's message. I was really struggling earlier this week to really hear the voice of the Lord and to hear what he wanted me to speak today. And so on Thursday night at the prayer meeting, I asked the people that came to pray for me and to pray that, God would give me a message to speak. And the next morning, as I was going through just my normal Bible reading time, the Lord spoke to me a message. And so today's message comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3. We're going to be picking up again on some themes that we talked about last week from the book of Isaiah of how worship of God leads us to justice. And again, we'll see this theme come up in today's passage. But more than that, what I want to focus on today is a very simple and short sentence, but one that is deeply profound as well. And that is the message of prepare the way of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to Luke chapter 3. And we'll read from verses 1 to 20. All right, starting from Luke 3, verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother, Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray real quick. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the message that you will speak to us this morning. Lord, we pray that your spirit would be upon each and every one of us, working in us to give us understanding of your message. Lord, would you help us to hear it on a personal level? Lord, the things that we can be doing as individuals to change and to produce the fruit that is talked about. And at the same time, Lord, may we as the church, as the whole collective body, Lord, hear what you want us to do. And so, Lord, would you open our ears and open our hearts to receive your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've only been living in Canada for about 2 years now. So I'm not entirely sure of how things work here. But one of the unique things in the U.S. is that whenever the president is traveling to an event in the States, usually they have this whole blockade set up, right? So from the airport to the venue where he's going to be, they close off all the roads. There's a police escort and everything. So it's a big deal. There's a lot of preparation work that's involved. I've seen this in movies. Not sure how accurate it is, but you know, the Secret Service go out like weeks in advance, and you know, they make sure that everything is safe, that the path is safe. And so there's a lot of preparation involved in that. Well, similarly, in ancient times, when the king was prepared to make a journey, when he was prepared to make a march, there would be similar preparations made. It wasn't so much blocking off intersections back then, but it was about clearing any obstacles that would be in the way. So if there were, you know, rocks that were in the middle of the road, those would be cleared. Even if there were trees in the way, they would be cut down. And the whole point was just to make the journey as smooth and as easy as possible for the king. Right? And the reason that these steps are taken, all these preparations are made, is because the person that's going to be traveling is an important person. It's someone that has authority, someone that is respected. And so they make these paths for them. And so in our passage this morning, we hear about preparing the way for the Lord. And now the Lord, you know, he's God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He should be the most important of all. But when we talk about preparing a way for him, we're not talking about a physical path, right? He's not telling us to carve out a path from Mississauga to Toronto or anything like that. But he's talking about a spiritual path. And we are to prepare the way for God in our hearts, in our thoughts, and in our actions. So if you look with me, you know, to chapter 3 here in Luke, verses 4 to 6. John the Baptist here, he is quoting a passage from the book of Isaiah. So this is taken from the Old Testament. And he's saying, you need to make straight paths for the Lord. You know, every valley will be filled in, every mountain will be made low, the crooked roads will be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. What he's saying here and what the prophet Isaiah was talking about is in preparing the way for the Lord, you need to get rid of the obstacles that are in your way. And so for us, that means what are the obstacles, you know, whether they are our thoughts, whether they are our feelings, our desires, and even the things that we do. What are the things that are keeping us from getting to God, or from allowing God to just have this smooth journey in our life, right? Like, what are these obstacles that seem to block God from doing his work in our life? And those are the obstacles that we are called to get rid of. And how we get rid of them is through this theme of repentance. So in verse 3, it says that John was going all throughout the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance, Right? And then again in verse 8, he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So this idea of repentance is a big theme that just runs through John's message. And we all should know what repentance is. Repentance is, you know, if you were going a certain way, to repent is to actually turn around and start moving the other way, right? So it's not just about stopping, but it's actually this active, you need to turn around and start moving away from what you were doing. And so different people, they hear this message and they start to wonder, you know, John, like, what does that mean? What does repentance look like for me in my life? And so you have the crowds that ask him, they're like, what should we do in verse 10? They ask John, what should we do? And in verse 11, John says, here's what you do. If you have two shirts, if you have two tunics, share them with the person that has none, right? The person, and if you have food, share it with the person that doesn't have food, right? And here again, we see this idea of taking care of the poor, taking care of the needy. This is involved in our acts of repentance, right? And how that works is because, well, let me actually go through the other examples first. Well, the tax collectors, they also come to John and they say, John, what should we do? And if you know, the tax collectors had a very notorious reputation back in the day. They would take more than what they were supposed to, and then they would keep all that extra for themselves. So they were very greedy people, and no one liked them. And so they asked John, what do we do? And so he says, you know, your repentance is to not collect any more than you are required to. All right, then the soldiers come, and the soldiers ask him, well, what should we do? And John says to them, don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. You know, be content with your pay. See, the Roman soldiers then had a reputation as well for extorting money from people, using force to take money, bullying people, or they would even accuse people falsely, have them thrown into prison, and then they would seize their property. Right? This was the practice back then. And so repentance would be to stop doing those things and then to actually be content with what they have. All right, so how all this fits in with this idea of repentance is, you know, all of these things, all of these attitudes that they were having earlier were very selfish attitudes, right? So if you have extra clothing, if you have extra food, the tendency is just to keep it for yourself. But in repenting, you would then move away from the selfish attitude and you would become more selfless. And that meant you can share your extras with those that don't have. And in the same way with the tax collectors and the soldiers, this idea of repentance is to stop using your position of power for personal gain, but instead to live out honestly, to do your work honestly. Right? Repentance is not just a simple saying, oh, I repent. But there's action involved in repentance. It's something that can actually be seen. That's why in verse 8, it says produced fruit, right? That's in keeping with repentance. Because when a tree produces fruit, that's actually something you can see. But John actually goes on. And in verse 8, continuing, he says, you know, do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. And what John is doing here is he's calling out actually a lot of the religious leaders of the day. Because a lot of the religious leaders, they would think that they are living the life that God wants them to live. So in their minds, they are saying, you know, we are descended from Abraham. We have this special status. And so we don't need this repentance. You know, we don't need to change our actions. And John's like, no. He's like, calling yourself the children of Abraham, it means nothing if you're not producing fruit. Right? And he says that, in fact, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. And even rocks can be called children of Abraham. Right? So, as I was thinking of this example, this image popped into my head. I don't know, maybe it's because, I have a backyard and I go out there so often because that's about the safest place I can go outside now. And we have an apple tree in the backyard, right? Now, if I were to, paint myself brown, if I were to stick leaves onto my arms and I would just stand out in my backyard like this and call myself an apple tree, right? That doesn't make me an apple tree because I'm not gonna start producing apples all of a sudden, even though I have leaves and I'm painted brown. And this is what John is saying. He's saying just because you call yourselves the children of Abraham, it doesn't mean you are actually the children of Abraham because you're not living like the children of Abraham should be living. And it's the same for us. If we're gonna call ourselves Christian, we actually need to be producing the fruits that a Christian should produce. And now some of you might be thinking, that seems very very works and very action-centered. And it is. So then you might be wondering, like, oh, doesn't the Bible teach us about faith, right? We're saved by faith alone. We don't need to do works. Well, there's a difference. It is faith alone that saves us, right? So when we are saved by God, it's not because we've done anything to earn it. It's not because we were doing all the right things that God decides to save us. No, when God saves us, it's because of his unconditional love, and we don't have to do anything, right? When you're saved by faith, you simply receive God's love and his salvation, right? And it's yours. But the Bible also makes it very clear that once you are saved, you'll start bearing fruit. Right? All throughout the Bible, there are these passages that talk about how you need to bear good fruit. And in the book of Galatians, especially in chapter 5, you hear about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? Once you are saved, there should be evidence of these attributes in your life, right? So you should be demonstrating love. You should be sensing joy, peace, right? You should be more patient with those around you. You should be able to have more self-control, right? But it's not just limited to those fruits. But here John gave some examples of what other fruit are born, right? Charity, for instance, taking care of the poor and needy. That is a fruit of a Christian. That is a fruit of a believer, is to take care of those that are in need. And another example is, honest work, faithful work. He doesn't tell them to stop being tax collectors. He doesn't tell the soldiers to stop being soldiers, but he says, do your job in an honest and faithful manner. Right? So, if you're a student right now, what that should look like for you to be a faithful student is to not procrastinate, right? It's not to put off all of your work until the very last minute that you need to get it done and then just slap whatever you can together and hand that in. That's not what it means to be a faithful student. To be a faithful student is to work when you're supposed to and to work diligently. Right? If you're working now, to be faithful in that is to do your job well. Right? I know right now a temptation because so many people are working from home You can actually get away with doing a lot of housework, during your work hours. You could be, cleaning the house, like washing the dishes. You could be renovating your house during your work hours. Your boss wouldn't know. But to be a faithful worker, to do the honest work, is to continue working even when, no one's watching over you. Right? And this is what we're called to as Christians. This is how we are to prepare the way of the Lord. See, the Christian life is not one that is very passive. Once you're saved, once you become baptized, it's not like, okay, I'm good. I'm just going to sit back and let God handle everything. No, but the Christian life is actually one that is very active. If you read through the Bible, all of the people that are regarded as faithful, as righteous people, these were people that were doing things. They didn't say, oh, God says I'm faithful. God says I'm righteous. So now I don't need to do anything. God's just gonna work. No, these are people that were constantly on the move. They were constantly seeking God. And they were doing that in prayer. So for example, the prophet Daniel. Daniel was so faithful in seeking God in prayer that even when there was a law passed that said if he prayed, he would die, he continued to pray. Right? And that is not an attitude that a lot of us have, right? We are actually very good at finding excuses to not pray. But if we want to be preparing the way of the Lord, if we want to be living, producing this good fruit that is in line with repentance, we need to be active and we need to be seeking God, both in His Word and in prayer. But the Christian life is also about blessing others, right? We are also to be a witness in this world. And so that looks like taking care of those that need to be cared for, taking care of the homeless, taking care of the impoverished, taking care of the widows, the orphans, right? And if you are in a position of power, don't take advantage of that position to exploit others for personal gain, right? Instead, use that power to bless others. Right? These are just some examples of what it means to be preparing the way of the Lord. And so why is this important? This was a message that was important thousands of years ago when Jesus was coming, right? That's what John the Baptist was doing. He was preparing the way for Jesus. But we are also preparing the way for Jesus. Right? Jesus has promised us that he is coming again. Right? So we need to be living with this mindset of Jesus is coming again. How am I preparing for his return? Right? And one of the things is repentance, is to turn away from those selfish desires that we may have and live the way that he wants us to. Right? Bear the fruit of the Spirit that were mentioned in Galatians 5. Continue caring for the poor and the needy. Be faithful workers and students. Be faithful in the areas that God has called us to. And when Jesus comes again, he'll actually have, in verse 17, it says his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's ready to clear the threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. All right, so here we have again, we have this difference between wheat and chaff. Wheat is the seed. Wheat is something that is useful, something that can be eaten, can be used to cook with. All right, so that is something that has borne fruit. That is the fruit of the harvest. And if we are bearing fruit, if we are producing the fruit that we are called to, he'll gather us into his barn. All right, this is why it's so important that we need to be active in our faith. Because if we are not active, then we are just like the chaff, right? Chaff is useless. It doesn't do anything. So if we simply just call ourselves a Christian and we're not doing anything, we'll be looked at as chaff. And we'll be thrown into the unquenchable fire. So it's really important that, you know, you really start to examine yourselves and examine your life and say, hey, you know, how am I being active in my relationship with God? How am I being active in living out my faith? And there's a very worldly effect that this will have as well, which is stated in verse 6. It says, all mankind will see God's salvation. All right, all people will see God's salvation. All right, if we go back to my opening illustration of the U.S. president when he travels in the U.S., you know, when those roads are blocked, when that escort is coming through, everybody knows that that's the president, right? Everybody will see the path that he's going on. And in the same way, if we as the church are all living out the way that we are called to, people will see God's salvation. People will see this path that God has laid out, right? If we're fulfilling our mission and purpose as the church, the result is that people will see God, right? If we're living and producing the fruit that comes from a life of repentance, the world's going to see that. And this is what Jesus wants. This is what God wants. He wants us to be these witnesses to the world. And so we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate communion now. And as we do so, as we enter into this time, let us remember that the path was prepared for Jesus. And that was a path to the cross. It was the path that would grant us salvation. And that was prepared for him. Now, in the same way, we as the church now, as we anticipate Jesus coming back again, let us prepare the way for the Lord so that the world may see his salvation.